WTAW News Time is 6 minutes after 8, 54 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news. Good morning, I'm Chelsea Reber. We had a traffic update for you in the last hour. That roadway in the 200 block of Texas is now open. United Way of the Brazos Valley has completed its community campaign. President Allison Prince says the total of $650,000 fell short of this year's goal and last year's total.
If you remember, we had our $800,000 goal last year that we hit. And so this was down a bit, but we also knew that things were going to be a little bit tougher this year with the economy. But I think it turned out a little bit tougher than we even predicted.
Prince says partner agencies will be notified at the end of this month or in early June of what they are receiving. Prince also announced United Way's Youth Leadership Cabinet nearly doubled their fundraising goal.
They had a goal of raising $7,000 last year, and they blew that out of the water and raised $13,200.
The Youth Cabinet distributed $11,500 in mini grants to 14 agencies. It's been nearly 2 weeks since Bryan police responded to a report of a misdemeanor assault case that has since been revealed was at the home of City Councilman Rafael Pena. That has led to a City Hall investigation about Pena's council status due to where he is living.
When asked to respond, Pena said he would contact WTAW once he returns from an out-of-town trip on city business. A one-sentence statement from Bryan police to WTAW News about the incident on April 20th was this is not an active investigation with the Bryan Police Department. WTAW filed an open records request of the police report, which City Secretary Marilyn Strada says will be sent to the Texas Attorney General's office to determine what can be released. The address listed on the April 20th incident is a home east of the municipal golf course, which is not part of Pena's district. Strada says the City Council will decide whether to consider that issue after receiving information from the City Attorney.
That information will have to go to the City Council. They will get legal advice, and then it's in their hands.
The City Charter, which requires Council members to reside in their single-member districts, does not address temporary absences.
Residency is a very hard thing to define, but it means your permanent home. Where are you going to be living? That's where you're going to be sleeping. That's where you live. It's not a temporary situation.
While Bryan Police has concluded its investigation into the reported assault, the city prosecutor has not responded if he has received the police report. Another city official says no case has been filed in municipal court. The Brazos County District Attorney's Office has no information about the case, and the Brazos County Attorney has not seen the report but is interested in reading it. Bill Oliver, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
A new principal has been named at College Station's Cypress Grove Intermediate School. Holly Scott, who is currently an assistant principal at Consolidated Middle School, will take over this summer for Kelly Deeger, who was named principal of College Station's new intermediate school last month. Reaction is widespread after Monday's announcement that Texas A&M's Riverside campus will undergo a $150 million transformation to focusing on transportation technology. BCS Chamber of Commerce President Roy Sickman on WTAW's The Infomaniacs says his first reaction is positive.
There's going to be some ties to business out there, which I think is great. I'm really very much in favor of anything that we do that ties the university with business and with job creation.
Hickman says possible opportunities like internships will benefit both businesses and students, and construction and demolition work will benefit the local economy. A shooting Monday night at a West Bryan apartment leaves a man hospitalized in stable condition. Police report there are no known suspects and have not indicated if there is a motive. The shooting took place at the Villa Oaks West Apartments on Verde, located near Villa Maria and Harvey Mitchell. Anyone with information is asked to contact Bryan Police or Brazos County Crime Stoppers. WTAW News Time is 10 after 8. It's 55 degrees. Text us your news tips, photos, and videos to 979-695-1620. More news at 8:30 or anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
Hey friends, don't let mosquitoes keep you indoors. This is Bobby Jenkins with ABC Home and Commercial Services. The Brazos Valley is too nice a place to stay indoors because of mosquitoes. And mosquitoes aren't just a nuisance, they're a health risk. The proven ABC mosquito misting system automatically sprays insecticide at preset times or on demand and kills mosquitoes in all parts of your yard. For mosquito misting, call ABC Home and Commercial Services, specialists for your environment.
For courteous service, just call ABC Home and Commercial Services. If your business is spending too much on ink and toner, talk to Cartridge World. We help businesses save up to 30% on ink and toner. That's 30% less than the superstore prices. Cartridge World with 600 stores. We're home and office printing pros. We're locally owned. We get small business. And you'll save 30% on high-performance ink and toner cartridges every day. Find a store near you at CartridgeWorld.com. That's CartridgeWorld.com.
Get set to save now at your local Kubota dealer. Check out the all-new ZD1000 and ZD1200 series commercial zero-turn mowers with Kubota ProDex and patented clean-cut blades. Now get long-term financing as low as 0% APR for 4 years or great customer instant rebates on a new ZD1000 or ZD1200 series mower. Now through June 30th, 2016. Call toll-free 1-888-465-8268 for details about costs and terms.
Visit WC Tractor or TexasKubotaDealers.com.
8:12, our Brazos Valley weather forecast. It's brought to you by Action Sports, home of the new Can-Am Spyder and Kawasaki Mule Pro FXT. Stop by and see them yourself at Action Sports 202 Holloman Drive East or click on actionsportstx.com.
High pressure, it's going to continue to build across the area, and as it does so, it'll continue to keep our weather sunny, dry, and warm. We're headed up to 80 to 85 with all the sunshine we'll pick up today. It's clear overnight. We'll cool back down to 55 to 60. Sunshine's back with us during the day tomorrow. High's 80 to 85. Tomorrow night, clear, a low of 55 to 60 degrees. Sunny and warm for Friday with highs of 80 to 85. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk 1620 WTAW.
It's 8:13, and it's on Wednesday. It's time to talk to the mayors, and Mayor Jason Bielinski joins us this morning from the city of Bryan. Good morning, Mayor. How are you?
Good morning, Mayor. I think there's a lot of listeners listening in today, so I went and got sponsors today for my radio show.
Oh, did you?
I've got Pooh's Park and Mannery Small as my sponsors today. Since it's going to be well listened to.
Good. I appreciate you. Appreciate you doing that. Let's go back to last council meeting. You had a presentation from a CPA out of a firm in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, having to do with the money being spent at Traditions. I will say this, since we have. The mayor thinks a large listening audience today. Councilman Mike Sutherland joins us in this time slot tomorrow. But first of all, talk to me a little bit about what you heard from that report and basically the whole tenor of the meeting.
Seems like 2 years ago since we've had that meeting, Scott, to be honest with you, with everything going on these days. We received the report from an outside auditor. I think the synopsis was we were a dollar off. On the staff's numbers and the numbers that our CFO and assistant CFO and our accountants and CPAs have come up with, they show there's a dollar. They didn't recommend that we do any more investigating or spend any more money, any more of the taxpayers' money looking into it. They were satisfied with that the numbers that they audited. The staff did agree to meet with the council members that were in disagreement to continue going over some of the numbers. Again, I don't think it'll ever end.
When will those meetings take place?
I think they had a meeting yesterday.
Okay, well, then we'll talk to Councilman Sutherland about that. Overall, the tenure of the meeting, I thought at some points it turned a little bit contentious, members of council not necessarily agreeing with the way the numbers were being presented from the firm.
I thought there were some that were very disrespectful to the auditor that made the presentation. He's not a staffer. He wasn't a local resident. He was from Dallas, Texas. He was hired. His company was hired to come in and audit the numbers. He was just there to present the facts. He has no horse in the race, so to speak. He could care less, he said, about that development and this project. He's just there to look at the numbers and to present his findings, and he did so. So again, according to the numbers that we received, we should move on and focus on other important tasks at hand at the city of Bryan, and we've got so much going on. I mean, we just I know we'll probably talk about it here in a little bit.
We will.
The Relis campus.
We will. Yep.
Riverside campus. There's so much that's going on in the city of Bryan right now. We need to focus on infrastructure and quality of life and the parks and all the other things that are taking shape right now and put this to rest.
All right. Well, let's, in that same council meeting, discussion of, obviously, city council members spend a lot of time representing the city in a lot of different ways on boards and commissions and in other places. And council members also from time to time will hold meetings with their constituents. There's been a proposal that those meetings be recorded whenever a member of council is representing the city. How do you feel about that, and what's your feeling for the justification for that feeling?
Well, I have no problem with it. I think it was put on the agenda by Councilmember Hardiman and Councilmember Simak. We can't attend all the meetings. I think there's 40-plus neighborhood associations. There's several council members that have town hall meetings, but there's other you got HOAs, you got neighborhood associations that might not necessarily be a homeowners association, but then you've got homeowners associations. So if a council member is speaking at one of those events, at one of those forums, I think it's good that all the council members that may not be present at those meetings hear what's being said and hear what the feedback is. So I think that's good. If you are a citizen and you've got a concern, and that information is going to be relayed back to the whole council, how is that a bad thing? How is transparency a bad thing? You would think the ones that are fighting this would be the ones pushing transparency. I don't think we should exclude one meeting or the other. I don't typically have town hall meetings, but I do attend HOA meetings and neighborhood association meetings. You know, we have a lot of those, particularly in the east and west sides of town. I don't think you should exclude those. If the mayor is speaking at a neighborhood association or town hall meeting or an HOA, I think that the full council has a right to hear what I have to say.
Okay, well, my concern is on the other side of the issue. You're a public official. You're an elected official. You're used to speaking in public, and you're going to answer questions that are brought to you, and you'll have statements. I'm more concerned about the people who are asking the questions. Will they feel intimidated? Will they? There may be any number of people, Mayor, who are concerned that the government will do something to them. And you have to give those people the ability to have free speech. And knowing that it's going to be recorded may cause them to be silenced. And that bothers me a lot.
So, Scott, then you're saying we shouldn't record and tape our Here Citizens. Many cities do not tape and record Here Citizens. Brian is a rarity, I would say. Many don't, because a lot of people use it as a grandstanding mechanism. So if it's an intimidation factor, then I think we should to encourage more people to come to Here Citizens and speak about their issues, and we shouldn't record and have that recorded and broadcast over the
okay,
cable stations.
Well, one point of difference, though, in Here Citizens, by law, you cannot respond. In a town hall forum, there can be back and forth. The elected official can try to answer that question or give them something. I'm just, again, concerned as more and more people worry about government being in our business. And heavens, anybody can record it. They can hold their phone up and do that. But my concern is when you legislate that it be recorded, I think that could make a certain group of the population feel uncomfortable about that. Is that a fair thing to at least address?
Well, but again, it could be said about Here Citizens. And what if that information, what if false information is given back by the governmental official?
Now, in that case, I certainly think that that's important. If they give information out that under the guise of being an elected official,
the citizenry is being misled,
sure. I'm in agreement.
Then
there,
I think the rest of the council needs to know about it. If staff's being lied about, I have friends that attend most of the town hall meetings and most of the HOA meetings, whether I'm there or not. There's a lot of misinformation that's being given out. There's a lot of misdirection. If that's all the citizens hear, if the information's wrong, then I think the citizens need to know the correct information. And so, and then again, if it's an important issue for that citizen, I think the full council needs to know about it. We get reports, and the more information we can get about the flooding issue in this neighborhood or the street issue in this neighborhood, then that's something we can look at. So I have no problem with it. If I live in Copperfield, we have yearly HOA meetings. My neighbors will attend, and they'll talk about some of their concerns, mm-hmm, about this and that. I would like all my fellow council members, if they can't attend there, and it's difficult for us to attend these meetings as a group, because then you've got to go through posting and you've got meetings, right, requirements. And so our city attorney and city secretary frown on the council attending these unless they know in advance, mm-hmm, that they can post it and we can basically conduct a meeting there. So it's frowned upon. They want maybe one or two attending at most. and at best. But I would like my fellow council members to know about the concerns of my neighbors in Copperfield and the other neighbors in the other areas. And if this is one mechanism that will get that information to them, you know, I'm not perfect. So if I'm there, I can only record so much in my mind. And I do take notes and I do pass those along to our staff. And we'll talk with the council member that represents that area. But if we can come up with a reporting mechanism to get back to report back to all the council members what was said, what needs to be done, I think it's a positive thing for the city of Bryan.
Mayor Jason Mieske joining us this morning. Yesterday or earlier this week, the chancellor announced that they're basically going to retool Riverside. It's going to be the Rillis campus. What do you know of it, and what's your reaction to it?
I have to go with the headline news the other day. It's definitely a game changer. Yeah. I think that was great. I'm extremely impressed. It was a fifth-generation resident of Brazos County in Bryan. Our family was raised and settled on the west side of Bryan, and so Riverside Campus is you know, been a part of the city of Bryan, the Bryan Air Force Base back in World War II. Actually have many postcards and collectibles from the era that I purchased on different outlets before, but excited about the Rillis campus. You know, Riverside, I think it's over 2,000 acres. It's been an underutilized asset in our community for A&M, and particularly for the city of Bryan, that Chancellor Sharp and Vice Chancellor Banks and Director Christensen with TTI, if they're going to go in and put this research and development transportation campus there that's going to have public-private partnership. And then they've got this educational center, you know, as a father of two young ladies that are, one's maybe 4 years away from attending a university, if that's her route and choice, I'm glad to have Blinn College here, A&M here, the Health Science Center, and now the Educational Center, where you can get some educational opportunities from some of the other universities and colleges that A&M services throughout the state of Texas. So I think they're expecting 10 to 20,000 students that could be attending there. It's a $150 million investment. We have a lot of land on Highway 47 and in that area that's not developed, that could be developed. The city of Bryan and TxDOT and the state and A&M has put in a lot of really good infrastructure in that area with the Health Science Center, the biomedical corridor, the new overpasses that are out there. So the infrastructure is in place to facilitate that growth. I think we need more retail opportunities. We will see more job opportunities for our citizens. And again, I speak for the citizens of Bryan as their proud mayor, but this is something that's going to benefit all of the Research Valley area and the Aggieland and Bryan and College Station, Brazos County, and the surrounding BVCOG region. So this is a shot in the arm. I appreciate the job that the chancellor and the border regents and everyone's doing, and I was excited about it. I mean, visited with the folks from Toyota and some of the other private sector businesses that are going to be partnering with TTI and the university. This is going to be a state-of-the-art campus, unlike anything in the country. And again, to say that it's in our backyard here in Bryan, Texas, I'm extremely proud. And first thing I mentioned to our staff is we need to adjust our comp plan, because mm-hmm. It's something we didn't anticipate. This is new to the table, and we've been talking about doing things on the Riverside campus for many years. Bryan Business Council has been talking about opportunities and partnerships with A&M, and now we have that opportunity. And I am pleased that the chancellor and the system are going to retain the old Air Force Base chapel and some of the hangars, and so you'll have some of the past that'll be preserved there, and some of the newer, older buildings from maybe the 60s, I think, will be demolished. But yeah, the infrastructure's in place. The runway there is probably one of the best runways in the United States. They were landing, you know, B-52 bombers and stuff. But the new testing center, research and development center, Rillis campus, we're very excited about it. It's going to be another shot in the arm, another economic development opportunity here for our citizens and for our community. And as leaders, we need to plan for that growth, work with the university making it successful for everyone involved.
Sure. Finally today, Council Member Pena, has been named in a police incidents report from a few weeks ago. And there are allegations made. He and his wife have both spoken against those allegations, both having to do with the reason for the police call and also where it took place, which was outside the district that he represents in the city of Bryan. As mayor, as one member of council, where are we on those two questions, and where do we go forward from here?
I've had brief conversations with our city attorney and city secretary about it. The council meets this coming Tuesday. I'm sure it'll be on our executive session to talk about it and get legal advice of what needs to be done, what needs to be looked at. The charter is very clear. Section 7 of the city charter states that a council member elected from a single member district must remain a resident of that district throughout their term of office. The charter is silent about the temporary absences from the districts. So should a council member from a single member district move their residence to a different district, then the charter says they no longer meet the qualifications of the charter to represent that single member district. It doesn't say anything about temporary absences. I think there's some things that are being said that, well, if you have a vacation home or if you go on a week cruise or you stay a month in Colorado on vacation or take a worldwide trip, that constitutes that you've vacated your residence. That's a vacation. That doesn't count. It doesn't say that if you move out of your house because you're doing a remodel or something like that, that's allowed. If I was remodeling my house or had a reason to move out of my house and I move to the city of College Station as the mayor of Bryan, I'm sure there would be some outrage to that. Mm-hmm. So I think I would be looking for a rent house or a place to live in the city of Bryan in the area that I'm serving. But that's something we'll have to look into, and that's something we'll have to visit with our attorney on and get some legal advice on that. And then someone will have to make a determination whether or not which of those addresses is his residence.
Okay, so this, of course, just has to do with the city charter question. So in executive session, I presume two things can happen. You'll either be advised that there's no course forward or there is a course forward. So let's take that second scenario first. If there is a course forward to move forward, what does city council do as best you understand it after that?
Well, as one member of council, I mean, it would take a majority of the council to decide if they wanted to move forward, if the evidence is there, and if they think that the council member in question is vacated the district that he's serving and living in, then that's something we can look at. Not knowing all the answers, and this is not something that typically happens. This is new to the city of Bryan and uncharted waters, so to speak, so it's something we'll look at. Should the charter be changed and amended? Probably so. I think the majority of the council would agree that if you're going to move out for a certain reason, I don't know that putting on a new roof, I think we had a council member that said, well, you know, he moved out for a year so he can put on a new roof. Well, that's not a legitimate excuse, in my opinion. Remodeling a bathroom is not a legitimate excuse. I do know of a friend that had a house that flooded. Completely flooded, and he had to rip out all the sheetrock, everything else. Well, he could not reside there. That is a legitimate reason to move out of that house temporarily while it's being renovated. But if the house in question is being renovated, it's being remodeled, then there should definitely be some permits pulled, and there should be extensive work done to the property. So, I mean, I think that needs to be looked into if that's the case, and that's the reason why someone's not residing in the area. But some will say I'm not a big proponent of single-member districts. Mm-hmm. I would probably favor council members being at large, like the city of College Station has in place. There was a proposal at one time that talked about everyone at large voting for their council members, but having each individual person living in certain neighborhoods and certain single-member districts, but the whole city would vote. But I guess at this point I would say if we had everyone at large, like Councilmember Simic and myself, then this wouldn't be an issue. But I think if you support single member districts, and I think the council members need to reside in the single member districts that the citizens elected them from, and I think if you do not want to live there, then I think that you need to resign and maybe run for that single member district race the next go around.
Okay. Anything else that we need to address as far as that's concerned?
No, sir. Like I said, we'll be getting some more information, and we'll talk about that as we progress.
Okay. Anything else you got for us today?
Be remiss if I didn't mention Lunch and Learn tomorrow, noon, City Hall, basement, I believe. Mary Lynn Strada's office is going to talk about all things in her offices and records keeping and all that. Of course, with the new charter issues and some of this, I mean, there might be some additional questions that Mary Lynn might be answering, but they do a wonderful job for us at the City of Bryan, so I encourage all our residents to come down and see what all the City Secretary's office does and the Municipal Clerk's office does for our residents.
All right. Appreciate the time this morning.
Thank you, Scott.
Yep, that's Mayor Jason Bielski, the Mayor of Bryan. It's our community segment brought to you by Van Dyke Rankin Insurance Agency, serving your insurance needs since 1936 with honesty and integrity.
Van Dyke Rankin Insurance would like to highlight Ben Welch for his influence in the community. Ben is a part of the executive leadership team at Mays Business School and has worked at A&M for 28 years. Ben was recently quoted, "You make a living by what you get, but you make a life by what you give." A graduate of Leadership Brazos, he serves on the board of directors for Junior Achievement and as a deacon at First Baptist Church. Van Dyke Rankin Insurance recognizes Ben Welch for making a deep and lasting impact on the quality of life in our community.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. In the early days of the internet, AOL was the way most of us connected. Now, AOL is trying to connect with people as they stroll down the streets of Manhattan. The company is building a ground-level public-facing studio for its live programming. AOL says it will use technology to engage with its audience, including shooting video in 360 degrees for a virtual reality-style look at events. German engineering giant Siemens recorded a strong rise in quarterly profit, boosted by earnings growth at its power and gas and energy management divisions. Jim Beam has filled and sealed its 14 millionth barrel of bourbon since the 1933 repeal of Prohibition, achieving a first in the bourbon industry. The seventh-generation master distiller sealed the barrel Monday at the company's flagship distillery in Clermont, Kentucky, about 20 miles south of Louisville. Crude oil up 38 cents this morning at $44.03 a barrel on Wall Street. Futures are lower. That's Your Money Now.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated, price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $28 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-513-0258. That's 1-800-513-0258. 1-800-513-0258. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
WTAW News Time is 8:34, 57 degrees right now at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news, brought to you by Awards & More. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards & More can put it there. Good morning, I'm Chelsea Reber. The discovery of a Bryan police case located at a home where City Councilman Rafael Pena has been living has resulted in two investigations.
When asked to respond, Pena said he would contact WTAW once he returns from an out-of-town trip on city business. Bryan police responded to a call 2 weeks ago at a home east of the municipal golf course that is occupied by Pena and is owned by his mother. The location is south of the 2nd District boundary. City Secretary Mary Lynn Strada says the city charter requires a single-member district council member to stay in his district for the duration of his term.
If they move their home from one district to another, then that's where the qualification issue would come in.
Has it been determined if a move has occurred?
No, sir.
And what's involved in doing that?
You know, I really don't know the answer to that question. This will be an issue where the city attorney will have to give some legal advice to the council for them to be updated on that situation.
The residency question follows what Bryan Police considers a now closed investigation of a misdemeanor assault that was reported on April 20th. WTAW filed an open records request that the police report which the city secretary says will be sent to the Texas Attorney General's office to determine what can be released. Brazos County Attorney Rod Anderson has not seen the report but says he's interested in reading it. Brazos County Assistant District Attorney Jessica Eskew says their office has no information about the case. Bryan City Prosecutor Josh Galicia has not responded if he's received the police report. Another city official says no case has been filed in municipal court. Bill Oliver, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
This year's community campaign for United Way of the Brazos Valley reached $650,000. That's a decrease of $150,000 from last year, which President Allison Prince says was due to a downturn in the local economy that was worse than predicted.
Our board approved just the other day that we're still going to use what we call a 60%, 20%. So 80% of what is raised will be reinvested in the community. 60% of that 100 will be for grants, and then 20 will be for our investment initiatives around 211 Texas, Youth Leadership Cabinet, Volunteer Brazos Valley, as well as Financial Stability Innovation Fund.
Meantime, United Way's Youth Leadership Cabinet had a fundraising goal of $7,000 and reached $13,200.
After they're kind of covering their expenses, a few little things that they had about $11,500 to grant. They did an open RFP process, so any nonprofit could apply. They had over, I think it was 28 applications to review, and they had to make funding decisions that got it down to 14.
The Youth Cabinet is made up of 29 students from 7 public and private high schools in Bryan and College Station. An assistant principal at College Station's Consolidated Middle School gets a promotion. Holly Scott has been named principal at Cypress Grove Intermediate School. Superintendent Clark Ely says Scott will make the move this summer when Kelly Deeger starts as principal of CSISD's third intermediate school. Scott is finishing her first year in College Station after 12 years in Bryan, where she was a principal at Milam and Sam Houston Elementary Schools, and before that was Bryan's mathematics coordinator. Texas A&M's announcement to transform the Riverside campus into something targeting private-public partnerships on transportation-related projects has sparked reaction from the community.
Personally, very excited about it. I think it will spur a lot of development out in that direction.
BCS Chamber of Commerce President Roy Sickman on WTAW's The Infomaniacs says along with increased development and a boost in the local economy, opportunities for businesses and students to work together could be created.
It works good for both. The student can find out if that's an environment and the type of work they want to do, and the company has a chance under an internship to evaluate if that are those the skill sets we need, and is that the type of personality that fits in with our organization. I think it's all, there's a lot of good from it.
The first of 7 new buildings, a $73 million research center, is supposed to be completed in December of next year. Bryan police have no suspects and have not indicated if there is a motive for a shooting Monday night that left 27-year-old man hospitalized in a stable condition. Officers responded just after 9 p.m. to the Villa Oaks Apartments on Verde near Villa Maria and Harvey Mitchell. Anyone with information is asked to contact BPD or Brazos County Crime Stoppers. Memorial Day weekend is one of the busiest times of year for Texas parks, but $40 million is needed to get some up and running after the floods.
We are not going to open any park until it's ready and it's safe.
Carter Smith, the executive director of the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, mentions a favorite state park in the Brazos Valley that's closed due to flooding.
Up in Dallas, Cedar Hill or Lake Ray Roberts, Lake Whitney, Somerville, Brazos Bend is an exceedingly popular park there along the Brazos River is closed. All of those are huge economic drivers.
Smith says park closures from flooding last summer resulted in loss of $2 million in revenue. WTAW News Time is 8:40. It's 57 degrees. Text us your news tips, photos, and videos to 979-695-1620. This Look at News is brought to you by Awards and More. We'll have more news for you today at noon or anytime at WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
Awards and More should be your first stop for plaques, trophies, and custom awards. Whether you're promoting your business or getting a trophy for your little leaguer, Awards and More will custom design just the right product for you. Awards and More has t-shirts, printed promotional products, custom engraving, and embroidery. Call 696-3886 or go to awardsandmoreinc.com. Everyone needs their name on something, and Awards and More will put it there. Awards and More, 3518 South Texas Avenue in Bryan.
Ready, set, go. Will your lawnmower get off the starting line that quick? If you're not sure, then it might be time to let the folks over at Sioux Falls Prater Equipment take a quick peek under the hood. Spring is around the corner and you want to be ready. Now is the time. Spring inspections on mowers start at $79. Inspections include tune-up kit, power wash, and more. Give those guys a call. Be ready to mow this season. Sioux Falls Prater, your local John Deere dealer. Affordable, dependable, and reliable. CPTractor.com.
841, Brazos Valley weather forecast is brought to you this morning by Skyline Communications, in business for your business since 1981 with two-way radios and paging service. Call Skyline Communications at 775-2929.
High pressure, it's going to continue to build across the area, and as it does so, it'll continue to keep our weather sunny, dry, and warm. We're headed up to 80 to 85 with all the sunshine we'll pick up today. It's clear overnight. We'll cool back down to 55 to 60. Sunshine's back with us during the day tomorrow. High's 80 to 85. Tomorrow night clear, a low of 55 to 60 degrees. Sunny and warm for Friday with highs of 80 to 85. I'm meteorologist Rob Carolyn for News Talk 1620 WTAW.
There goes 8:42. So, guys, you see, every once in a while we'll kind of run over.
It happens
from time to time.
If the interview goes a little long, and so that's what we did. So that's where we are. In the meantime, what is your child going to be when they grow up? I mean, you want them to have a good, stable, secure future that'll pay them well. How about being a bug finder?
A bug finder?
Yeah. What kind of bugs are we talking about, Scott?
We're not talking about, like, insects.
Oh, okay.
That's immediately where my mind went.
Because being an entomologist might be kind of nifty.
That would be kind of fun every once in a while. You get to stick pins in bugs and put them on the wall.
Yeah.
But Mark Zuckerberg didn't even begin to learn about programming until he got a tutor when he was 11. So now there's a girl from Finland, or a guy from Finland, who has, received a $10,000 bounty from Facebook, his company, after finding some vulnerability in the code for Instagram. We have a 10-year-old who is doing code.
And not just doing code, but finding problems with code.
What happened is they put together this thing called a bug bounty program, Facebook did, and they did about 5 years ago, and the deal is if you could find a soft spot there or a chink in the armor, then you would get a reward, and the reward is $10,000. The program has paid $4.3 million to more than 800 people who spotted bugs in the social network programming, according to a spokesman from Instagram. But the latest is a kid who's 10.
Mm-hmm. It's getting earlier and earlier. Patrick used to tell me about this, about how they have things now for small, like toddlers, that are supposed to kind of teach them the basics of coding with little blocks and stuff.
Exactly right. The thinking that it takes to be able to write code.
Yeah, anyway. It's amazing.
He reportedly plans to buy a football and a new bike.
That's going to be a really sweet bike.
Yeah, it really will.
Or a really sweet football.
Yeah, they will be. It'll be like a Tesla bike. Yeah, they'll be pointing at him. But all that said, and here's a perfect example of why it is so, a study by a group called Imgur, I don't know what that means, but that's the name of the company, finds that being a geek today is a positive thing. The old identifier as the nerdy person with no athletic ability or personal style, with little personality but tons of smarts, it's okay now. The report finds that millennials in particular have embraced being geeks and are more likely than your Gen Xers or your boomers to call themselves geeks or to say things in a geeky way. Geek is now defined as being incredibly passionate about your interests, whatever they may be.
Couldn't have done that when I was in high school, huh?
No, that's the thing. Right. Yeah. I'm sorry. You're too geeky. 82% of millennial geeks say geek labels are not a bad thing. There are 83 million millennials in U.S. America, and 60% qualify as geeks. 23% are self-proclaimed hardcore geeks. I'm a hardcore geek? Wow.
Sounds a little geeky to me.
It does. It's a little, I'm a belligerent geek. Howsomever, we've got Bravo Brazos Valley coming up. But on the other side of that, how much we use our devices, when and where we use our devices, they ask not only the parents, but they ask the kids as well. And we'll see how close the numbers match up in a few minutes.
Best sandwich shop, best bakery, best cookies, best delivery and takeout. Blue Baker has been voted best in the Brazos Valley for 12 years in a row. And now you can order your Blue Baker favorites online and have them delivered to your door. From breakfast sandwiches in the morning to box lunches for the office, or warm cookies as a treat in the afternoon and stone oven pizzas for dinner. Head to BlueBaker.com. Blue Baker, craft bakers serving custom eaters. Now with easy online ordering and delivery. At BlueBaker.com.
Bargain hunters, savvy shoppers, and anyone who loves to save money, this is the can't-miss car buying event. It's Atkinson Toyota's Repo Joe Sale. It's here this weekend. Over 160 quality trade-ins, auction cars, lease terminations, and repos available at incredible, never-before-seen bargain prices. Pay just $27 down. Payments just $89 a month and clearly posted on every windshield.
Stock number 1607-40A, 2009 Toyota Yaris. Selling price $53.88, 72 months at 2.9% APR. $27 down plus tax. Title license with approved credit.
Repo Joe here. There's a reason why the Repo Joe sale is one of the country's biggest used car events. The bargains are incredible. You don't want to miss it.
You'll love the selection, love the savings, and absolutely love your new car from the Repo Joe sale. But you must get to Atkinson Toyota this weekend. $27 down delivers with payments from just $89 a month.
Visit RepoJoe.com to find your bargain.
Then rush to Atkinson Toyota in Bryan in Madisonville this weekend. Subject to prior sale.
Last month when we were talking about the big doings at the Republic of Texas Museum to celebrate the state's 180th birthday, we were talking about it with a true expert, Kathy Nolte, who's been with the organization at the Washington on the Brazos for nearly two decades. Now that's loving your work. And you just spend a few minutes with her and it's clear that she does every day. Like many careers, hers started with a summer internship.
In 1996, that's when it all began. Then I went on to work full-time as the Independence Hall interpreter. In 2000, I moved to Fanthorpe In-State Park, our sister park in Anderson, 1850 Stagecoach Inn, and managed that site. And then in November of 2007, I went over to Barrington Living History Farm as the manager of that site. And then December 13, I moved back up here as the complex manager superintendent for the entire complex. So it's kind of been a circuitous little route up to the top.
Doing what you love, loving what you do, and doing it every day at Washington on the Brazos. Well, how did Kathy Nolte develop this passion for history?
Well, it's interesting because my major at Texas A&M was actually wildlife science, wildlife management. And I started here, as I said, working a summer internship and got involved with a summer day camp that we had. And that camp involved a special cultural history day, a natural history day, and a conservation program day. So that's how I got started with the history of the area. And of course, being a native Texan, I had a pretty good base knowledge of Texas history.
Yeah, she's been added at the Republic of Texas Museum for 18 years, but she's the first to say that she couldn't do it alone. She's got staff that's been there a long time too. Staff just as dedicated as she is.
I have a wonderful staff. I'm blessed with people that are all very committed to the sites and care about Texas history. And most importantly, they care about educating and inspiring our visitors, our guests, to know more about this time period and the significance of Texas history to the people here.
So I asked Kathy Nolte, what would she tell young people in high school or in college wanting to do what she does, wanting to further their own interest and passion in history, in Texas history? How do you get on to a job like this?
With this particular kind of site, a historic site, any kind of history degrees, anthropology, archaeology, works very well. Also, more generally, a degree in parks, recreation, and tourism. If you're looking at Texas parks and wildlife in general, of course, wildlife, fisheries, things like that. And of course, Texas Parks and Wildlife has an amazing website. And there is a jobs tab on that that you can go to, and you can peruse and see what positions are available across the state, and then it's an online application.
And that's Kathy Nolte, nearly two decades on the job at the Republic of Texas Museum at Washington on the Brazos. And that's Bravo Brazos Valley. It's brought to you by Coldwell Banker. Agtown Realtors voted the best in the Brazos Valley.
Bargain hunters, savvy shoppers, and anyone who loves to save money, this is the can't-miss car buying event. It's Atkinson Toyota's Repo Joe Sale. It's here this weekend. Over 160 quality trade-ins, auction cars, lease terminations, and repos available at incredible, never-before-seen bargain prices. Pay just $27 down. Payments just $89 a month and clearly posted on every windshield.
Stock number 160748, 2009 Toyota Yaris. Selling price $53.88, 72 months at 2.9% APR. $27 down plus tax. Title and license with approved credit.
Repo Joe here. There's a reason why the Repo Joe sale is one of the country's biggest used car events. The bargains are incredible. You don't want to miss it.
You'll love the selection, love the savings, and absolutely love your new car from the Repo Joe sale. But you must get to Atkinson Toyota this weekend. $27 down delivers with payments from just $89 a month.
Visit RepoJoe.com to find your bargain.
Then rush to Atkinson Toyota in Bryan in Madisonville this weekend. Subject to prior sale.
This is Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors bringing you the quarterly real estate marketing update. Average sales price, $224,128, up 6%. Average days on the market, 92, down from 102. Currently, we have 82 days inventory. Definitely a seller's market. Call us, Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors, for a free market analysis for your home. 979-846-8400. Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors, the trusted source creating exceptional experiences for all we serve.
News Talk 1620 WTAW. It's about 7 minutes till. So, okay, we've decided it's okay to be a geek, right? Mm-hmm. Takes money to be a geek, maybe. No winner on Saturday night's lottery, the Powerball. So tonight it's worth $348 million if you want to do that. $348 million. Then there was no winner last night in the Mega Million. So Friday night, that's going to be $138 million if you want to do that. Yeah, just saying. Wearable fitness trackers are now owned by almost two times more households than just a year ago. Owned by 20% of U.S. American households, with another 15% of households planning to purchase one in the next year. That's the tally from the Consumer Technology Association. They also find smart home devices like smart thermostats, lighting controls, motion sensors, are now owned by 15% of households. And a lot of those things can really make, like the thermostats, those deals are really pretty cool.
Those are awesome, yeah.
Because if you do have a routine that you stick to, I don't happen to, but if you do have a routine that you stick to, I mean, that can save you some pretty good money, and it'll pay for itself. It's not that expensive. There's and I think also now you can, like, walk into Best Buy, something like that. And,
wow.
Do that.
You can, like, change them with your phone and stuff from far away, too.
Yeah.
That's super awesome.
If things are going to change. All right, so a study from the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis finds almost half of the people who switch jobs earn less than they did in their old jobs.
So why did they switch?
Yeah. among those whose pay increase on average is only about 2.5% more in the first full month of employment, in that new job, as it was in the last month of the old job, the St. Louis Business Report concludes that workers often may be taking a new job because it's simply more pleasant than the old one, or because it has potential for higher earnings down the road. Okay, well, that makes sense that you might be able to. But again, there's certainly a calculated risk involved. If for some reason that job doesn't pan out, then there you are. But you can be miserable around nicer people, right? That makes sense.
American Leak Detection.
If you're seeing cracks in the walls, ceilings, or floors of your home, or if your pool seems to be losing water, before you let just anyone start digging or jackhammering around your home or pool, call the experts first at American Leak Detection. They've been servicing the Brazos Valley for over 18 years and are the leaders in non-invasive leak detection. Call 680-1094. That's 680-1094. Or click on AmericanLeakDetection.com.
Detection.
News Talk 1620 WTAW, about 4 minutes till. Okay, so you can leave home without all sorts of stuff, but what you will turn around to go back and get is your device. Is that right? Your cell phone.
Agreed.
You will turn around and do that.
If I'm close enough to home.
Yeah, I understand.
Been there.
NBC News, along with Common Sense Media, did a survey, and it's amazing. They talked to their parents, and they talked to kids, and the percentages are frightening. For instance, 59% of parents feel their teens are addicted to their mobile devices. 50% of the teens say they are. 27% of the parents say that they are addicted to their mobile devices, and the same percentage of teens say that their parents are. They asked parents the feel to immediately respond to texts and other communications. 48% of the parents say they do that. 78% of the teens feel the same way. When it comes to checking their devices hourly or more often, 69% of parents, 78% of teens. So that means that 21% of them are lying,
yeah,
right? Because that would be 99%. Right. The percent of parents that admit that they look at their devices while driving, 56%. Here's the frightening thing is 51% of the teens see them do it. Learn from your parents.
Yep.
Good or bad.
Mm-mm.
Parents say they use their mobile devices, and it does not hurt or even help their relationship with their teens. 85% of them say that, and 89% of teens feel the exact same way about their parents' use. It doesn't hurt their relationship. Well, but how do they know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If
they don't, yeah, they don't know the different, what it,
if, yeah,
if, what it if, would be like without it.
If Billy goes to spend the night with Johnny, and Johnny's dad says, okay, run around the house three times before dinner, and they go out and do that, well, the kid who came over to sleep over goes, that's weird. But the kid who lives there goes, no, that's normal. So
we always do that.
Yeah, if your kids aren't talking to you or you're not talking to your kids, well, yeah, okay, that's normal. Mm. Okay, is it the clothing store, is it called Aeropostale? What's that called?
I believe I heard it the other day.
Aeropostale.
Okay,
yeah.
They filed bankruptcy protection.
Yep.
They're going to close 100 stores of the 800 or so.
And there's one here in our local mall.
Yes, there is. Wall Street Journal says the competition for the fast fashion retailers like Forever 21 and H&M is hurting the teen retailer. The company also said it's worth about $30 million. In 2010, it was worth $3 billion.
Wow.
It is now worth $30 million. That's okay. In other words, it used to be worth $3,000. Now it's worth $300. Okay.
Ew, yikes.
2 months ago, Sports Authority was filing Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, planning to get rid of 140 stores, nearly a third of them, along with their two distribution centers. Now, the store plans to close every store in 41 states and Puerto Rico.
Oh, my goodness.
That's Sports Authority. And they're around in some places, but if you look around, Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yep, that's what I was going to say.
I mean, this is a company that basically was not on the radar screen 3 years ago. You see how many things that they sponsor, their names out there. I mean, you see it big on the SEC network. You see it on ESPN. I mean,
that's exploded.
They know exactly where they need to be, which is really what it's all about. If you're going to be a successful marketer, then you need to know exactly where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let me see a minute till. I'm not going to do the Corpse Hotel. We'll save that until tomorrow. It's not like the Hotel California. It's much, much worse. All right, so let me see. On this date in history, the Dutch explorer Peter Minuit landed in Manhattan. The National Association. Oh, that was the first professional baseball league. Why did they put the name of the league in their name? That's crazy.
The National Association.
We just do stuff. Yeah.
Al Capone finally went to prison. It was for tax evasion. And the motion picture arts and sciences people, the people who give out the Oscars, they were founded on this date in 1927. Huh. And a lady named Maggie Thatcher, remember her?
She was
the first female British prime minister. Came in on this day.
Look at that.
Good for her.
All right, we're back tomorrow. It's 9 o'clock. First in news, weather, and sports. WTAW, College Station, Bryan.